The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices.
Okay. Well, this is Ralph Kermit Winrode II. I'm subbing in for John today. He's off. And I'm not sure what he's doing, sick or maybe just taking a day. And I'm going to cover some stuff today that will shock you. But I will tell you, believe nothing I say. Don't believe anything anybody tells you. Look for the proof, the evidence thereof. Our republic has been overthrown. That's a fact. Terrible thing to say. More like in the Matrix. And we have, I'm involved, I'm a legal researcher, people don't know who I am, a legal researcher, and we have three cases right now where we are challenging in court for anybody to see, and I have a IRS address if you want to get some of the assessed information. I have an IRS list, by the way, for $250 postal money order, or if you can't, or Walmart, if you can't afford it, you just email me at irs@alaskaminuteman.com. Tell me why you can't afford it, and I'll add you. I'm trying to get this information out for the people that want to find out what the truth is. If you don't want to know what the truth is, I could care less. Have a nice life. Go over to Niagara Falls and don't bother me. We've got three cases going. One is a writ of habeas corpus ad subjunctim, a real habeas corpus. It was filed in Minnesota, District Court of Minnesota, United States District Court, looking for a constitutional Article 3 court under Sections 1 and 2. Do you know how many constitutional Article 3 courts, Sections 1 and 2, there are in existence today? On a first instance, do you know how many? None. Yeah, none. They don't exist. Technically, there is one, but it went in the closet in 1948, but that's what we're trying to do. So anyway, this habeas was filed, and it sat there from March till just 2 days ago, and they dismissed it. It's too hot to handle, because the information that I'm going to be talking about in the next 2 hours, if people in civil or criminal would start to understand and check out the facts, the real stuff, not what somebody's telling you, check it out yourself and validate it. All of these criminal convictions are all unconstitutional and illegal in the United States District Courts. Your civil cases, what you think you're doing in there is not happening. There are no constitutional courts in any of the several states. They don't exist right now. Because you know why? There's no elections for any public officers since actually before, but technically from the National Voter Registration Act of 1993. There's no elections for anybody in the state office. Yeah, because the elections are only for federal offices, says so. people read it. This is the information that is just, it shocks. You just cannot believe this could be going on. I mean, I don't know what to say. It sounds as crazy as these stupid Democrats coming their nonsense into running for president, but this happens to be true. So this habeas was there. So we've tested the habeas. We're going to, we have a, we can go in against it. It's not going to change his mind. So what's our remedy there? There's only one remedy left. They put in a certificate of non-appealability because they don't want this going to the Eighth Circuit. The Eighth Circuit Court is smoke and mirrors. There's only one Article III appellate court in existence today. That is the United States Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. That's it. Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. These appellate courts 1 through 11 and the D.C. appellate courts are smoke and mirrors nonsense. There's nobody home. I can prove it. And they print it. You know where to go look. So we have one appellate court that is really hard to get into, the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. So now, what's Rappert going to do? This case, by the way, is the case number, so you can go look it up if you're inclined. Or, like I say, if you email me at irs@alaskaminuteman.com, it takes several emails if you actually want the real stuff with the attachment. I'll give it to you. No strings attached. It's 0-19-CharlieVictor-42. 0-19-CharlieVictor-CV-42. The name is Rappert, R-A-P-A-T-T. It's a habeas corpus ad subjunctim, a real one. That's under the Constitution of the United States. Too hot to handle. They don't know what to do with it. Sat there for 5 months. They finally dismiss it. Okay, that's case number one. Another one that's currently going on is Dave Gladden's case. And that is in the United States District Court in Alaska. It's supposed to be in the District Court of the United States. That number is 3-19-CharlieVictor-99. 3-19-CharlieVictor-89 is Gladden, G-L-A-D-D-E-N. What's that case about? This is a case to show how you can sue a judge, state or federal. This happened to be a state, but it's the first one we've tested it on a state judge. How do you sue a state judge? How do you sue a federal judge? Because they will automatically, they will come back and say whether it's de jure, de facto, they use the de facto doctrine. It don't make any difference whether we have the oaths of office. We don't make any difference if we have the civil commissions. It don't make any difference if we have a certificate of elections, the de facto doctrine. We protect ourselves and go to hell. The only thing that they cannot defend, if there is no, quote, de jure office, then de jure office is an office created by the Constitution or by Congress or by the legislature in your state. And I guarantee you, in every state, there is no de jure office for the what you think you have as judges. They will have changed it somewhere between the around 1960s to 1980, somewhere in that time frame normally. Ours changed in 1974 in Alaska. They went from the third district to the bar. Alaska Bar says, hey, we want administrative districts called the third judicial district. But it's added a word to it. And then they made all the attorneys sign up to that's the only place they could operate, is in the administrative district. They changed the name of the court from the Superior Court of Alaska to in the Superior Court for the state of Alaska. You will find that in every state. Because the difference between what's going on with the creator and inalienable rights under the Declaration of Independence and what man's law, old Satan's over here, they can't use exactly the same thing. There's always a change. It's a word game today. That's what it's all about. What you think and what we think we're reading is not what's going on. They use term definitions. This term means, and anytime they do that is dog means cat. We see the word dog, but in reality, they're talking about a cat. It's that crazy. I'm not kidding you. So anyway, that case was going on. We went after Christina Ray in Dillingham. And finally, they dismissed that case. We're going to go up against them because the judge didn't talk about any of the essential elements. She says, I'm an Article 3 judge. We said we wanted it transferred to a bona fide Article 3 judge for Article 3 court, sections 1 and 2, exercising, in quotation marks, judicial power of the United States, in quotation marks. You have to use quotation marks, by the way, if you're pleading these things, because these guys are really good. Under the, in all cases, in law and equity. That's in the Constitution. They can't do them. Now, I'm going to tell you why in a minute. But they're all Article 1 courts, and we can prove it. It's a lie, a flat-out damn lie. And so she finally dismissed it, so we're going back against it, against her. But kind of waiting to see, because they put in for attorney's fees. And if they do, then that should give us a window to get into the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. They're trying to make money off of it. So, but she's been sitting there. I think she figured out what we're doing. So we'll wait and see. But that you can sue any judge. There aren't judges. It's an illusion. It's the Matrix. And the third case is Mooney out of Minnesota. M-O-O-N-E-Y. Case. And that case number in the Federal Court of Claims now is 1-19-CharlieVictor-987. 1-19-CharlieVictor-987, Federal Court of Claims. And by the way, before I get through today, I'm going to also cover why Colonel Flynn, why this is so important to his case. And he may get his finally dismissed, but I'm going to go into that too. If we do not have courts of justice, according to the rules of common law and equity, we're screwed. We are, because where do you go? And we don't have any, folks. They don't exist right now, except in a very limited areas. The Federal Circuit Court of Appeals, the Court of Claims in somewhat, and the Supreme Court of the United States. But they're all going along with this nonsense because we don't know. They're lying to us, and I can prove it now. God, it's taken a long time to do it. So anyway, getting back to Mooney's case, the first case that I've ever known of on a reduced to judgment with the IRS was one in Minnesota. That case was 0-16-CharlieVictor-2547. 0-16-CharlieVictor-2547. They dismissed the case with prejudice. They were trying to take his house and property. They dismissed it with prejudice. Never been done before. They sat there for 3 months, and the attorney over on the other side over there in the kangaroo out of the DOJ, Department of Justice, did an ex parte emails and told the judge to get off her butt and reverse it. So she did. Judge Nelson, she's a coward. I've dealt with her before out of Minnesota. So she reverses it, dismissed with prejudice. So it was appealed to the Eighth Circuit, and then we found out you can't have that and the Federal Court of Claims, so we stopped the Eighth Circuit, went to the Federal United States Federal Court of Claims, filed it in, and we got a response from the DOJ, an early response, I forget what it was, and we filed in standing. This guy has no standing because we have an issue. Are you with United States, Counsel for United States, or are you Counsel for United States of America? Big difference. One of the things that I have documented is that United States of America, which is all you will see now in any of these federal courts for criminal or civil prosecutions, is always United States of America. That changed in 1911. From 1789 to 1911, we have a government of the United States. The real party of interest was just plain old United States, the United States. That's the government. Since the 17th Amendment in 1913, it changed. And what they do in 1913, that was a monumental year, 1913. It was really a good year. Well, you see, after the Civil War, the Reconstruction Acts, they flipped everything. We are supposed to be domiciled in one of the several states, and you have to claim you're a citizen of one of the several states. They flipped everything, and I got the case law to prove it. They said, oh, now everything is you're a citizen of the United States. National citizenship, federal citizenship. And you are residing or a resident in one of the states. Flipped everything upside down. They reconstructed everything. That's the first Civil Rights Act was 1467. I forget what the number is now. Gosh, I know it. Said it so many times, but it's in 1866. I'll look it up here in just a minute. In 1866, 14 Stat 27, first Civil Rights Act, and they said, guess what? You black folk over there can have the same rights as white citizens. I'm not kidding you. It's still in the code today. If you go look it up, it's in 42, United States Code, 1981 and 1982. You can have the same rights as white citizens. Boy, that sure sounds like a discriminatory statement to me, but it's civil rights with no political rights. So they put that into 14th, subject to has got all kinds of qualifications. Then, of course, in 1870, Congress come along with an epiphany and said, you know, well, guess what? We're going to let all you black folk come in, be naturalized, so you'll be equal in all respects. Took them 4 years to have the epiphany. People don't know that. So we started this federal citizenship nonsense. Well, then they started to say, well, now that we've got everything flipped upside down, we're Congress, we're going to give you benefits. Federal rights. You ever heard that? You have federal rights. Well, you can't do benefits in a constitutional court because there has to be a real injury. There's got to be something going on there. You just can't have benefits. This comes from Haber's case back in 1792. Benefits don't go in constitutional courts. You got to have a real injury. Somebody's got to injure somebody in a real law. So what they do in 1875, they modified the Judiciary Act of 1789, so it is hidden under something called the federal question. And it's codified today in 28 U.S.C. 1331, which is what everybody pleads when you go into these, you know, these kangaroo courts. They changed it in 1875. Isn't that amazing what they did? And then we come along to 1891. We start the Court of Appeals. But we already have an appellate court called the circuit courts of the United States. So why do we need another appellate court? Oh, because this one is going to be able to handle benefits. So we get up to 1911, and all of a sudden the circuit courts of the United States are repealed. Well, then obviously you would think the judicial power that they exercised, because they were a constitutional court, would be transferred to the Court of Appeals. No, it wasn't. It's right in the code. They transferred the judicial power of the United States to the only constitutional court left at the lower level, which is the district courts of the United States. Took me a long time to figure out why would they do that. Now I know why, because they couldn't transfer to the circuit courts of appeal. Couldn't prove then that they were nonsense, but I can now. So we come up to 1913. By then, we have all these people believing they're a citizen of the United States. Do you know what a citizen of the United States does? You have no political rights. You have no right of suffrage. You have no right of the elective franchise. You have no right to an Article III constitutional court. And your property, no matter where you are, even in Mexico, they can come get you. Back in a minute.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Well, this is Ralph Winterode again. I'm sitting in for John and talking about, because I'm covering a lot of territory here quickly to get to the main, some background that we've got, that we can prove all these things now. Like I say, you just can't make this stuff up. It shocks the conscience that it could be going on. And nobody, for 70-some years, this, what I'm going to get to, nobody's ever actually exposed this. I don't know why. It is complicated somewhat, I guarantee you. So anyway, we get up to 1913. That was a banner dang year. Because what'd they do? Well, first of all, we did the 16th Amendment. And all they did was take out the apportionment for the several states and make it income from wherever source derived. So they just took out the several states. We did the 17th Amendment. Why was the purpose of that? Because, you see, we had already got everybody hoodwinked into being thinking they're a citizen of the United States when we go to vote. No elective franchise. No right of suffrage. The only place that it exists is in D.C. Qualified electors exist in the District of Columbia. How dare in the hinterlands, they only are under the Buck Act of 1944, were deemed to be in a federal area, and we have to volunteer for everything. They need our consent for everything. So we sign up to register to vote as a citizen of the United States. In a few places, citizen of the United States of America, but neither one get us anywhere. So in the Constitution. Nothing's changed. This is Article 1, Section 2. The House of Representatives shall be composed of members chosen every second year by who? People of the several states. People of the several states. That's the House of Representatives. But we signed up to vote as a citizen of the United States instead of a citizen of Texas or a citizen of North Carolina. So we bypassed. It's still there. And then I found a case, Adams versus Clinton, 90 F sub 2D 35, is the 2000 case. And I hadn't caught on to it, but the 17th Amendment, guess what they did there? This is 90 F sub 2D 35 2000. They left out the word several. People of the states. We left out several. You know why? So we could define state. They define state and every damn thing in the world under terms. They can't define several states. They just leave out one word. One word. And the whole thing changes. That's how devious these people are. So we did the legislatures of the several states that were electing the senators to just the people of the state in 1913. So now we don't have anybody in the Constitution of the United States. There's nobody home. We have elected to abandon it by saying, I'm a citizen of the United States on the representative side, and I'm a citizen of the United States, which the 17th Amendment took care of. Well, that opened the door for the Federal Reserve. What the hell? If there's nobody home, let's go phony money. So we did the amendment on that. Yeah. So we did the amendment 1913 on the Federal Reserve Act. Yeah, for phony money. Because there's nobody home. And you think the 10th Amendment's still there? Under the Voter Registration Act of 1993, South Carolina challenged it. You know what they said? The 10th Amendment is irrelevant. The 14th trumps it. Because we flipped everything. The 10th Amendment that had stood, that said, well, the rights not given to either to the in the Constitution are reserved to the people or to the several states, doesn't have any bearing on the 14th and 13th and 15th Amendments. That ought to be a wake-up call right there. The 10th Amendment said, what we didn't give you, we're going to keep. But it has no bearing because they created a fictional citizen of the United States, a federal citizenship. And we've all bought into it. Because we don't know no better. How would we know? So anyway, we get up to, we've got nobody home in the Constitution of the United States. So how are we going to get the courts overthrown? We've already got rid of the circuit courts of the United States in 1911. So we got the appellate courts, but we still got a district court of the United States. So what are we going to do? We got a problem here. Oh, it's real easy. We'll just get around and we'll do some more bait and switch. 48 Stat 1064. 1934, June 19th. They come out and said, we are going to make everything now under the procedure of the civil actions at law. And we're going to call them substantive rights. Can't abridge substantive rights. What does that mean? Substantive rights are your constitutional rights of the right of the common law, the constitutional rights, your inalienable rights secured, all that. But you know what they did? They flipped everything upside down again. Because you see, our only remedy for this now is the Federal Court of Claims. Oops, I hear the music. Be back in a minute.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here,
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit.
Back here, before I continue on, Rodney in Illinois, you got a question or comment what we're talking about?
Well, yes, Ralph.
Okay,
yes,
sorry, Ralph.
Yesterday, I was in court.
State or federal?
State.
Okay.
Okay. Here's the thing. My tag light was out. You understand? The tag light was out.
Okay.
All right. All right. Well, you know, that was back in January. All right. Here we are. I appealed to the Illinois. I'm in Illinois. I said, hey, you've got Illinois Supreme Court rules. You got 401. Illinois Supreme Court Rule 401. You got Illinois Supreme Court 402. I want a 402 conference so that we can have a discussion. All right. Well, this is a lame appeal to anybody in Illinois. My email is redpill33@gmail.com. I apologize. I'm still using Gmail, but that's my email. Redpill33.
Okay. What's the point of the headlight thing here? Let's get to the point of what you're talking about.
Okay.
So what happened?
Here's the thing. The prosecutor has offered me a plea deal. Illinois Supreme Court Rule 402 covers plea deals.
Okay. So?
And it deals with constitutional issues. You know, it asks, you know, it's imperative that the trial judge ask me, are you aware, you know, that you are contemplating waiving your right to a trial? Okay, so I got them by the balls. They can't tell
let
me.
Let me interject some thing here to get this to a thing so we can move on. First of all, that judge has no authority to do anything. Do you know why? Because you have no elections for any public officers in the state of Illinois. They don't exist. There's no elections. That's in the National Voter Registration Act that your state has adopted. So that guy is nothing. I don't know what he is. He's probably just a bar member, period. So you have no rights at all. The other problem that you're up against, hold on just a minute. The other problem that you're up against, do you really think you own that car? The state of Illinois owns that car. Do you know how they get it? I can tell you.
I know that. I've got the copies.
Tell me how do they own it?
The manufacturer's certificate of origin is forwarded to the state.
Yes, and you sign away at the thing. You sign an implied in fact contract giving it away. So it's their stuff. So you got no bitch. You have no right. First of all, you're in a court that don't exist. You got a judge that isn't there. He has no authority, and they own the car. And if they own the car, they can do anything they want with you. You're beating a dead horse. Okay?
No, I'm not. You're not listening to me.
I am listening because I have done so much about it. And I don't want to spend a lot of time out. I know how to beat these traffic citations. Do you know what I do?
So you're going to hang up on me and tell me I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
I'm not going to hang up. Just be quiet. Just hold on. We're having a conversation. I get to talk. You get to talk. Well, if a cop shows up, I say, Ben, am I glad to see you. I want to report a felony complaint. The state of Alaska just stole my car. And by the way, you're working for him, so you're accessory to the fact. You know how many times I've done that? 4 times. You know how many times they've done anything? Nothing. I passed a cop speeding, doing 20 miles an hour over the speed limit. He walked away. They can't go there. I've been through these courts. The bottom line is you can beat them on, if you want to really take the time and go in and look up all the definitions and all that, but for a simple thing like a headlight, it ain't worth it. We need to fight these things. But the bottom line is, if you understand you don't own the car, you understand the judge is not a real judge, you understand the court is not a court of law, no court of justice, there's no common law, there's no equity. It's all a ruse.
Okay. Those who appreciate your commentary, and yes.
That's not commentary. Well,
I do appreciate your commentary tremendously. But I'm putting
I don't want to spend too much more time, but what's your point of why you called? Do you think you can beat this, or you don't want to beat it, or what's the point, the real point here?
The point is that my email is redpill33@gmail.com, and I've got these bastards by the balls. Illinois Supreme Court rules 401 and 402.
Okay.
If there's somebody in your audience in my state of Illinois that wants to contact me, and I will tell, you know, we'll have a discussion.
Well, I can tell you, I've won so many traffic citations, I've won so many misdemeanors, but you know what? Nobody else can do it. We can't. Because the bottom line is, you put so much effort into these, where I'm going at the core issues of the thing. If we don't get real judges and get to own our cars, own our land, if we don't get back to that, we're screwed. Oh yeah, we can make them go away. I got so many of them going away, but so what?
The maximum sentence in my charge is it goes from a tag light out to a maximum. I'm looking at 2 years. Maximum or minimum of 2 days.
Yeah. Okay. So, a jail?
Yes.
For a taillight.
For a taillight. These suckers came to my house.
You got my email. I want to move on, but said, keep me updated. You got my email address, irs@alaskaminuteman.com. Okay. So
really,
anyway, I'm going to get back.
Are you really interested in my case, Ralph?
I look at all cases. I look at all stuff. I do, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time assisting you with it. But I take a few minutes and I can give you ideas of things.
All right. I'm not really, really don't need your assistance. I'm
okay. We've got that out there. You got your email, so we're going to move on. So anyway, if you want to keep me updated, fine, and we'll see what happens. Okay.
Let's do. Okay. Bye.
Yep. Okay. Great. So anyway, getting back to the issue of what happened in 1934, they turned everything upside down again. See, we turned the citizenship upside down. We're a federal citizen, but wait a minute, we created these people. We created started off with the states, the 13 colonies. We created the several states, and we have an allegiance to the United States, not being a citizen of the United States. Where is that located? It's on your passport. It's 8, United States Code, 1101A, 22, capital B. Because there's two things on the, you're either, and the definition is for a national of the United States, end quote. You are either a citizen of the United States under the absolute plenary power of Congress, or B, your allegiance to the United States, but you're not a citizen of the United States. And by the way, that's on your passport on the right-hand side. It says citizen / national of the United States. People don't, this stuff is done so subtly. So anyway, back in 1934, we have substantive rights. Well, they flipped everything upside down. They said, now, we're not going to abridge any of your unalienable rights or all the stuff you got, Constitution, to that. And I'm going to jump ahead, so we have the Federal Court of Claims. They waive sovereignty, so they say, okay, you can come in and sue us if we screw you. That's under 28 U.S.C. 1491. We'll allow you to come and sue us, but you have to do something else. You have to tell us how we screwed you, how we took your property or how we took your money. So instead of them have to take us to court and prove the law how you can take it from me, we have to go back in and say, tell them how they screwed us and took our money. That's under the Tucker Act. Now back in the 1800s, and that's in the Federal Court of Claims. They flipped everything upside down again. And then they go on to say in 1934, these rules of court shall take effect and all laws in conflict therewith shall be of no further force and effect. Really? All laws in conflict with their frickin' damn rules are no longer in force and effect. We can't make this stuff up. And they say, we're going to put equity and outlaw together and we're going to preserve the right of trial by jury at common law. What a good that does. There's nobody home. They say all the laws are no further force. What were they doing? Well, you see, and that we've got some information out of the archives out of Texas. I got to have somebody go back again and get the rest of it now that we have seen what's there. But I want to prove all this stuff with their documents. See, I love to take their stuff and just stick it right in their face and rub it in. The real District Court of the United States with the seal, we couldn't get a copy of the seal because they won't allow you down there, and you have to get a special camera with a lens, but we'll get back with so we have a copy of the seal too. But anyways, so in 1938, they come up with the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure. Yeah. And there's a cross to it in equity. Well, where'd the common law go? Oh, we're not going to do that. What's equity? That's if there's no remedy at common law. There's no real it's just to make stuff fair. So now we got that done. In 1940, we did away with the same thing we did as the civil with the criminal rules. But then the thing we really had to get to screw the American people, we had in 1948... we created the new United States District Courts. United States District Courts. What happened to the District Courts of the United States, the constitutional guys? Oh, we put them in a closet. Shh, we're not going to talk about them. And we're going to put in, this is codified in 28 U.S.C. 132, judicial power of a district court, not judicial power of the United States. Judicial power of a district court could done, be done by one judge. Just so. And you know what their authority was? Accepted practice. I kid you not. Based on the territory of Hawaii court. It's right in the footnotes. I got all this stuff. So I got books that I got. There aren't a lot of them out there left just to, on a hand. But it's all public record. They admit it. And I'm going to get to why it's so important here when it's a thing. But we have to lay some groundwork. Nobody's going to be able to keep up with all this stuff. Understand, I mean, you can replay it or you can get back in touch with me and I'll give you information on this. But I'm covering the basics of what we're going to be doing on the next hour. Because this is critical stuff. If we do not have an independent judge with the rules of common law and equity, we're toast. And I can tell you unequivocally, they're not there, folks. This is why we have all of this crazy stuff. I went after why these judges and everybody don't have the oaths of office, why they don't do civil commissions, why they don't have certificates of election. I got all this stuff. Those are all limbs on a damn tree that we need to get to the root of. Our forefathers were so smart what they set up on that Constitution of the United States. They were just brilliant. And we have been conned. You and me have been conned. But people don't want to believe it. Ayn Rand said, had a good saying, you know, those who deny reason cannot be conquered by it. Boy, is that going on today. If you deny reason, was looking at the facts, stuff that you can prove, you're not going to win. That's just a fact. I mean, you argue till you're blue in the face. It's just not going to happen. So then in 1948, we created these courts, United States District Courts. Do you know what these United States District Courts, do you know what your state courts are in reality are? They had them back in England. Star chambers. Do you know what a star chamber is? It's the cruel trilemma. Self-incrimination is the first part. They get us to self-incriminate ourselves by several different ways. Number two, they have to do it under the penalties of perjury so that you can be nailed. It's under oath. And the third one is, if you don't agree and confess, and we got different ways of doing it, we will find you in contempt of court and put you in jail. We will take you to court and take your property, or we're just going to lock you up. It's called the Truel Trilemma. How do they do it with the IRS federal courts? They always file a declaration. They always have a public record. And if you do not immediately put in the record of that court, which I'm going to tell you what it is in a minute, and rebut everything by affidavit, you've already lost. It's like a summary judgment. They don't tell you that. We got him to admit that in Thornton's case in Minnesota, and we got it, the DOJ attorney to admit it. What they do is, like in Books and Records, the first one we won of those, in the McAlpine's case, but what they do, like in Thornton's case in Minnesota, they go, I take you out, and they say, you got to go be over to the IRS, and he's going to have, and he's actually called an inquisitor. They actually admit it. He will not answer questions. You have to sign in under oath, and he questions you off premise and getting you to admit. And if you do not admit it, they come back, and the judge will say, well, guess what? The IRS agent says the answers weren't what we were looking for. So therefore, we're going to find you at fault. And the standard they use in civil is clear and convincing evidence. And the judge will go along and say, well, we'll find you guilty. There's clear and convincing evidence you didn't confess. And we're going to find you guilty. I kid you not. We've got to admit it in writing. You can't make this stuff up. But you have to really push on them to get them to admit it. That's how they do it. They get you. So like in Thornton's case, there wasn't one iota of sworn testimony in open court. And they found him in contempt of court and went up and come back. And anyway, they ended up getting $500,000, or he got up. They found him contempt, and then he broke. People break because they use fear, panic, and dissension between their husband, wife, or trustees and stuff. He broke. I don't fault him for it. People do it. Back in a minute.
So are you tired of being tired? Well, then it's time to get the tea. Hey, it's Lisa here to tell you about this all-natural, all-organic tea I've been drinking that has had great results for over 20 years. It's called Life Change Tea, and it's specially formulated to help detoxify and cleanse your kidneys, liver, colon, and blood all at once. The colon is one of the most ignored organs in the human body. The faster that waste is eliminated from the body, the less time that waste sits in our intestines, spreading toxins to our bloodstream. This tea helps cleanse chemicals caused by outside intruders from our entire digestive system, and get this, weight loss can be a side effect. And with continued use of the tea, you can experience clearer, healthier, younger looking skin, increased energy, and a happier outlook on life. So if you're tired of being tired, get the Life Change Tea at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com, and like me, you'll be glad you did.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Republic Broadcasting Network depends on listener support of our advertisers and of our sponsors. We'd like to especially thank all of you who have taken advantage of our fundraiser with FrontSight Bonus. Those who are now FrontSight members, please train as soon as possible for your sake and for that of our nation. And please consider sharing your training and what you've learned when you arrive home. Republic Broadcasting Network has to stop promoting this fundraiser on air and on the website in just a few days. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, president of FrontSight, made a gracious exception to his no media rule for us at Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you, Dr. Piazza. And once you've been to FrontSight, feel free to call your favorite host and share your experience on the air. We can continue this fundraiser without media help, but it'll be totally up to the listeners to spread the information. Please call Dan Sutterfield in Missouri at 573-465-2356, 573-465-2356. That's 573-465-2356.
Back here. And Rick in South Carolina, you got a question. We'll sneak you in here. Let's see. We're getting pretty close to the top of the hour. Go ahead. We have to hold you over, depending what you're talking about.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. I was traveling, you know, and went through the small town in North Carolina. I live in South Carolina. And they pulled me over because I just put on, like, for instead of a registration plate, I just put on their private. And they didn't like that. And so they, you know, asked for ID. So I just gave them my passport. I said, I don't have to supply any identification unless I've committed a crime. So I gave them that notice, and I said, you know, I'm free to travel and stuff. But anyway, so they They weren't going to arrest me, except that they found an outstanding warrant for my arrest for a previous citation, which I never showed up for court. So then they put out a bench warrant for failing to show up in court. And so, anyway, so I wanted to deal with those two issues. So what I did was, after a few days, I sent that citation back. And so they locked me up. And so instead of settling it, because I just had, and then they impounded my car. I had to pay $500 to get my car back. And then I had to pay the $500 for the bench warrant. So I paid $1,000 for that. But I sent their citations back to them that refused for cause, failure, or no contract. I think that's what I put on there. But anyway, so do you have a place where we can listen to some more of your shows, where we can learn more about how you handle it?
Well, I'm on every Sunday from, it'll be 5 to 7 every Sunday for 2 hours.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yep, and then you get on my list. Like I say, it's $250 postal money order, or send Walmart to Alaska, or send me an email at irs@alaskaminuteman.com. And this stuff that we filed in the habeas, the stuff that was filed in Mooney's case, and this stuff in Gladden's case are landmark. It would take 5 or 6 or 7 emails to get all this information. But I've got it with attachments, with the actual, right out of the statutes, right out of the books. I mean, it is documented what they're doing, and I'm going to get into it next hour, why it is so important and how they get people like this Colonel Flynn. How did they hook him? We always say they could indict a ham sandwich, and that's true. How do they get away with it? And I'm going to talk about it next hour.
And what do you get, what's included in the $250?
You get all the current cases and all my research. I am on Westlaw, and if you want stuff looked up, I look up cases and email them to you. And if you got different stuff that you need to comment on, I can't get involved in all these other cases, but I look at them and I'll give you some pointers about where to go and what to do.
Right, because I can draft my own, documents, but I just, like you said, it's not simple. They make it very complicated. Very complicated.
But I can unequivocally tell you, if you do not have Westlaw, you have no chance.
Yeah.
And I highly recommend people to get the 3 or 4 or 5. I pay $400 a month, and get 3 or 4 people or 5 together and get access to it. And then, like I say, I can tell you in 15 minutes or less how to search Westlaw, how to start looking and finding stuff. Hold on a minute if you want to continue on, because we got hear the music, so we got to go to break here.
We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us. Take all our money and send it abroad. We must take America back. We need fairness, fools, and more things made in USA. We must take America back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page, and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
This is RBN, The Republic Broadcasting Network.